Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Well, Radio Free America is on the minds of everybody everywhere you go. Yesterday, I was down in Washington, saw Congressman John Rarick again, and also the well-known Mr. Ford from up in Michigan. And things are moving along. You people are sending letters into your congressman, and it's simply magnificent. The secretary to Mr. Ford from Grand Rapids told me that she was getting many letters. And this is what you people are going to have to do now if we get this bill, this private bill through to get WXUR back on the air and to get this whole issue before the country. It's simply a question now of getting the issue before the country. Congressman Rarick has sent a splendid letter to every member of the Congress, explaining that the liberty of every American, the liberty of every radio station, the First Amendment rights of the people are involved in the putting to death of radio station WXUR and in the repression and the fear that now hangs over all the radio and TV stations in this country. We have, as Congressman Rarick told me, the biggest issue that we have ever had to face. It's a clear, unmistakable issue, and everybody everywhere ought to arise and defend one another's freedom, especially when it's taken away from you by the bureaucratic setup in Washington, the Federal Communications Commission. We're in this battle with everything that we have, and we want you people everywhere to join us and help us in prayer and in writing and in action. I wish that a nice delegation of you people up in Grand Rapids would go see Mr. Jerry Ford. He was very nice. He told me that he thought the WXUR decision was wrong. He also told me that he would not introduce a private bill himself. He indicated, however, that he was interested in these developments. I think, however, he could be persuaded to do it if the members of his district went to see him and if some of you people talked to him and really let him know how you feel about this matter. There are hundreds and hundreds of radio stations in this country that are just playing music. They won't play anything that might get them into trouble of any kind. And the people are now living in a situation in which we no longer have free access to information. We just don't have it, not on the radio and the television, as a result of what the federal government has done in killing radio stations. Two of them, one has been put to death already. The other has been ordered put to death, because it hasn't measured up, according to the FCC, to certain speech requirements which the government has made. And this is what has to be completely eliminated. It must be done away with, and you good people are the ones who are going to have to do it. The Congress of the United States does not own the people, but the people are the ones who own the Congress. The FCC does not own the ether waves or the radio stations. These things belong to the people, not in the socialistic sense, but in the sense that the Constitution gave the reserved rights and the First Amendment rights to the individuals and to the people as a whole. Sometimes when they tell you that radio belongs to the people, well, they mean that's the socialistic sense. And since the people are supposed to have it, the government therefore regulates it and controls it from a socialistic standpoint. There is no socialism in the ether waves, ladies and gentlemen. God made it, and God gave it to us to enjoy in order that we might partake of the blessings of liberty. Now let's have our prayer, as always. And I want you people out in the western part of the United States. We're planning a trip out there to Napa and to Seattle and the Tacoma area, and these other areas, and I want you to stand by so that you can get the time and the schedule in which we'll be out there with these great Radio Free America rallies. Now let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We thank Thee for the little ship that rides the waves outside international borders there off Cape May today. And we ask that Thou wilt bless it and take care of it. And may it be able to carry the gospel news. May it be able to report these developments to the people across the nation. We do thank Thee for the people who are helping us, the radio stations that are carrying us. And we ask that Thou wilt take care of every one of them in a very special way. And we also ask that thy richest benediction may rest upon the work that's being done by the preachers of the gospel everywhere, who are standing up for God and country and for freedom and righteousness and for peace and victory. Give us that spirit. We thank thee for the bill that's been introduced to put WXUR back on the air. We ask that many, many congressmen will do the same thing, and that we can get this issue joined and get the hearing we need so that these questions can all be brought out before the people. This is our prayer. We also ask that thou wilt comfort those who are in sorrow. Sustain those that are weak. Give wisdom to those who are in need of guidance. And wilt thou increase our knowledge that we may do the work of the Lord. Now, this is our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will be in the Boise, Napa, Caldwell, Idaho area on the evening of September 24th. We'll be in Colfax and Spokane. We'll be in Spokane on the evening of the 25th. This is September. And then we'll be in the Tacoma, Puyallup, Seattle area on the evening of the 26th. These 3 nights, we'll be out there in that part of the United States with you people that are supporting us. And we want you to come and get all the people you can to come. It's been several years since I've been out in rallies in that section of the country. And then you people down in the Southern California area and all through that area, Arizona, we plan to swing back into your area before long. But the great drive now is to get the people of the country aware of what's happening to us and how our liberties are being taken from us. What do we say on this broadcast? Freedom is everybody's business. Your business, my business, the church's business, and a man who will not use his freedom to defend his freedom, what is it? Does not deserve his freedom. Now, yesterday when I was in Washington, I ran into some very interesting experiences. I'd like to tell you about them. But first, let me say to all you good people that the text that we're using, and we want you all to know it and love it, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's the text for the year. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It's the Son of God who frees us from our sins, who frees us from the fear of man. It's the Son of God who frees us from all these ignorant and superstitious notions that make us do things that we should never do. It's the Son of God who's given us life and light and liberty and joy and peace. All these have come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our little ship that sits out here on the great Atlantic today, it will be broadcasting this message of eternal life. It'll be broadcasting the judgments of God against iniquity and calling this nation back to the God of our fathers. It will be enjoying the blessings that God intended for us to have here on the mainland. And we'll be able out here on this ship to say things and do things so far as informing the public is concerned that we'll never, never be able to do as long as we have the Federal Communications Commission with its power to license in the matters of speech and regulation of speech and the control of the stations. Now fear, all these things are upon us. Yesterday, when I was in Washington with Jim Nichols, and we had been in Mr. Rarick's office, and he was outlining to us his schedule and program for this whole campaign. It's a wonderful one. We crossed from the Rayburn building over to the House to see the Republican minority leader, Jerry Ford. And we were down in the basement there trying to find our way to the subway that goes over to the House. And we stopped a man, one that looked like one of the employees there. His name was Tom Maggio. And I asked him, and he said, could you be Dr. McIntyre? And I said, yes, I am. Oh, doctor, he says, my, oh, my. He just began to talk, and he says, I can't hear you anymore. My brother's here. Steve's over here. I'll get him. And then, well, Steve had left. And so he said, here, I want you to autograph a paper for me. Give me one of your stickers. He said, He opened his pocketbook and says, here's $6, and I want you to use it for your radio. But, doctor, you have no idea how we feel here in this area. We can't hear you anymore. I listened to you for years. And he said, now we can't get you. And he says, every morning when I'm supposed to listen to you, I feel so terrible. He said, doctor, we've got to do something. You've got to do something. He said, why don't you come back to Washington and have a great march for free speech? Or why don't you come back? We've got to have you. And then Steve came back, and Steve came over, and we talked to Steve, and both these men, both of them, said, doctor, we listen to you every morning. We never missed you for years, and now we can't hear you, and what can we do to help? Well, both of the men then took us to the subway to get over to the house, and as we went through the door, there was a policeman standing there, and he recognized us, and I shook hands. His doctor, he says, I put in a lot of extra overtime looking after you in those marches. I said, well, that's fine. And these men, all of them, told me that they used to listen, but now they can't hear. Now they can't hear. Imagine in the nation's capital, in the very building itself, the Rayburn Building, where congressmen themselves have their offices, a building named after Sam Rayburn of Texas. Imagine men in that building telling me that they cannot hear and they cannot get Dr. McIntyre on the air anymore. And what can they do about it? They've been denied the right to hear these things that they formerly were able to hear. These two men were really ready to fight. That was in the Rayburn Building, in the basement, as we made our way to the subway to go over to the House of Representatives to see Mr. Ford. How would you people feel where you are right now if this program were completely cut off out of fear of the government, as has been the case in the Washington, D.C. area, and you couldn't hear Dr. McIntyre anymore? You couldn't hear programs of this kind anymore. And the radio stations do it to protect their license, to protect their financial investment. How would you feel? Well, I want you to realize that, as Congressman Rarick says, this issue concerns every single American. Every individual who wants to hear things, who wants to have access, the right to know, and access to information. It is being denied by the Federal Communications Commission here in the United States of America. Now, our request of you are threefold. First, we want you to get your congressman to introduce the bill. Each congressman can introduce the bill. He has to sign it, put it in the hopper, and get him to do it. Make a visit to him and talk to him. Second, we want you to distribute these petitions wherever you are. We'd like to have 1.5 million signatures or more when we take them to Carl Albert, the Speaker of the House. Now, the bill that has been introduced already has been referred to the Judiciary Committee, which is an excellent place to have it. The petitions, we hope, will be referred to Mr. Harley Steiger's committee, the Committee on Interstate and Foreign Commerce, which has the supervision or the oversight of the Federal Communications Commission. Now, please, will you get these petitions? Now, these petitions ask that there be an investigation of the FCC. Now, that is absolutely essential. They ask that the so-called fairness doctrine, which is designed to regulate speech and how a program controls, how a station operates in these areas of speech, that be abandoned. In other words, no longer should a radio station be required to submit to the FCC an account of what programs it will carry and what will be said on its station as a condition of getting a license. Judge David Baslin has said it. We must say it over and over again. You shouldn't have to tell the government what you're going to talk about or what your programs are before you have permission to enjoy the First Amendment of the Constitution. Now, that's the high level on which this freedom fight must be fought in our country today. And we're fighting it on that level. And then finally, the petition request that the radio stations and TV stations of this country be given the same status of the newspapers. They're entitled to the same status as the newspapers. The newspapers aren't licensed by the government. They're free to search out, to write, to print. They're free to do what they want to without any sanctions or any regulations laid down by a Federal Communications Commission or a Federal Press Commission. But unless we break this restriction of liberty and the Federal Communications Commission, the whole thing's going to come down on the press before long, and we're going to have a so-called fairness doctrine for the newspapers of the country, and then it will be disastrous, utterly disastrous. Now, of course, time has passed so far as developments down in Chile is concerned, but we all know that Allende is out, and Cuba is no longer recognized by Chile. We all know that there has been an overturning, and we need to pray now for the dear people in Chile. And by the way, it was the Christian people of Chile that did this. They had to do something. Things had gotten so impossible. But isn't it interesting that when Allende came to power, the Russians saluted him, and the communist world sent him greetings, and then Castro saluted him and went down and saw him. Dr. Eugene Carson Blake of the World Council of Churches sent him his greetings and felicitated this Marxist. But now, when he's dead and the overturning takes place and they throw out this Marxist order that they were seeking to establish, nobody says any greetings. No one in the United States has got to be neutral, see? Where is the leadership of the free world? Where is that leadership? We used to have it. But what's happened to it at the present time? Another development over in Red China. China's sweet talk yields a tough anti-baby policy. Hong Kong. Evidence is accumulating that the Chinese government is gravely worried over population growth. Draconian measures are being taken to try to check it. These include strong pressures for women with two children to have abortions and restrictions or denials of food rations to extra children. In other words, if you have more than two children in Red China today, the government's not going to give you the food to feed your extra children. The new measures began last January or February. This followed reports that a sample census, or possible a full census, had been conducted secretly. Special efforts were made to keep foreigners from knowing it. Now, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, establishing normal relations with Red China. And in these socialistic and communistic countries, they have to control the population if their allocations and if their various quotas are to be met. So they have to control the birth of the people. And in Red China now, they've taken tough measures to force a woman to have an abortion if she has more than two children, or if she has more than two children, they don't get the food necessary to feed these children. How do you like that, ladies and gentlemen? That's what we're coming to. That's the way this thing's heading up, so far as the communist and the socialistic world is concerned. Then this well-known novelist, Solzhenitsyn from Russia, has put out a release which is now being exposed here in the Western world. And he's maintaining that here in the United States, the American press and the American people have a double standard. They're very much against what they call the tyranny, he says, of the right, but they have no criticisms to make of what's going on so far as repression in the Soviet Union is concerned. Now, this is what I've been pointing out to you these many years. I've been pointing it out to you that we have no criticism. You take the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches, with Metropolitan Nikodim from Moscow sitting on its central committee. No criticism of anything Russia does. No criticism. But you talk about Rhodesia. You talk about South Africa. You talk about some of these other places why men are rising up in holy horror in regard to this aspect of things. So here comes a novelist from Russia himself, telling the American Senate, the American people, that they are entirely one-sided in this whole area of dealing with repression. Another story that I think I'd like to pass on to you comes out of Saigon, and that is that the North Vietnamese are rebuilding the American air bases in South Vietnam. And Red China is supplying military equipment to help the North Vietnamese reactivate these various airfields which have abandoned last January in what was called the ceasefire. The war goes on. The war goes on. We don't hear as much about it in the papers as we formerly did, but the North Vietnamese troops are building and repairing at least a dozen air bases in the South. Now, are they building these for the South Vietnamese to use? They're building them for their own use, ladies and gentlemen. They're building them in order that they may have their support in their efforts, their continued efforts to take over all of South Vietnam, all of Southeast Asia, for the communists. Yes, where is that peace with honor? The war continues. It's raging over there. The only thing is the United States itself has left those little countries over there to their own destiny. No wonder they don't want WXUR on the air. No wonder they don't want Radio Free America out in the Atlantic Ocean with his strong stand for God and for Christianity and with his strong opposition to the communist conspiracy and to what the communists are doing throughout the world to destroy and deny liberty. The thing that interested me about this overturning down in Chile, ladies and gentlemen, was that it's the middle class. It's the middle class. The great bulk of the people who own their little stores and the middle class that took things in hand and in order to save themselves and to save their country and to save their freedom, this action was taken in order to deliver them from the terrible, terrible consequences of Marxism and a communist system. Now remember, all you hear everywhere is, well, we must have peaceful coexistence in this detente, and we're just one social system in contrast to another social system. I cannot accept, ladies and gentlemen, and we cannot accept communism as a social system. It's a jail. It's a prison. It's a slavery. It's not another social system. It ought not to be even dignified by any such ideas as that. It's a repression, the darkest form of repression that you could imagine. Total control, total occupancy by the powers of the government over the lives and the destinies of a people. That's what you call another social system. And at the present time, all of us everywhere are confronted with the fact that in our country right now, we're not permitted to speak out. We're not permitted to have the exposures. We're not permitted to alert and awaken the country as it should be alerted and awakened to what the communists are actually doing throughout this world. And that's why we need a 20th century Reformation Hour and why we're going to have Radio Free America out in the great Atlantic. I told you that Congress has voted $51 million for Radio Free Europe. There are 52 weeks in a year. That's about $1 million a week to run a radio station. Would you kind of tell me how they can spend $1 million a week? $1 million a week of U.S. money to run a radio station, which they call Radio Free Europe? Here's our little station out here, Radio Free America, that certainly is commanding the eastern coast of the United States. It's not going to take $1 million, ladies and gentlemen, to run that radio station. For goodness sakes, who is spending $1 million of American tax money a week to support Radio Free Europe, as they call it? And now Russia has demanded that Radio Liberty and Radio Free Europe be put out of existence by the United States of America as a condition of normalizing relations between the Soviets. And to normalize relations between the Soviets, we've got to surrender free speech, give it all up, and not attempt in any way to get information to the people throughout the world on Radio Free Europe as to what's going on inside of Russia or what the situation is. The Soviets want Radio Free Europe put out of existence, and the Federal Communications Commission wants Radio Free America put out of existence. Isn't that interesting to see these parallels? But here's the Federal Communications Commission that's been threatening what it would do in relationship to Radio Free America, to stop it, to silence it, and it's yet to be seen just what they are going to do. But ladies and gentlemen, the American people ought to make it very plain everywhere that the government needs to fear the people. Make those men down in Washington afraid of the people. One thing that Congressman Rarick pointed out to me yesterday in regard to the Federal Communications Commission, that here are seven men with this life and death power over speech and over radio stations, and one station is dead. They were never elected by the people. They are not responsible to the people. They don't have to make the same kind of exposures concerning their activities or their possessions or their investments that a member of Congress does, you say. Here they are. They've been set up over here, and they are not responsible to the people in any way. Now, that's the situation into which we've gotten ourselves in this country, and these areas where men have life and death power over a man's investments. Today, please write me for a picture which you can frame, beautiful picture of Radio Free America. Let's make it the emblem of a free radio and a free America. Write me for that picture today. I'll send it to you. Write me for why Congress must act. We're getting these out by the hundreds now. The demand is for them everywhere. Get these petitions going, if you will, please. And then, my friend, this is Carl McIntyre talking to you again. We need your help. Never, never did we need financial assistance like we do right now. And I want you people to say, Doctor, here's $100. Here's $10. I'll send it to you today. Folks, we're fighting. We've been blocked out of the great metropolitan Philadelphia area. We've been blocked out of the great Washington, D.C. area. Areas where we were able to talk over these past years. But the Federal Communications Commission killed one station and scared another station owner to where he refuses to carry Dr. McIntyre's program in the Washington, D.C. area anymore. And nobody else dares touch it. They won't touch it. The fear that's been created by the United States government over these radio stations must be removed. And you must get in and help us do it. You must have a share in this battle, because freedom is now lost on the radio and TV areas of this nation, on the airwaves, and we've got to get it back while we still have a free press. God bless every one of you for listening. Thank you for your prayers and all your encouragement. Up in New England, the Council of Churches and the 23 Roman Catholic bishops are sponsoring a boycott of lettuce. They're boycotting the various marketplaces that sell lettuce that has been harvested without non-union labor. Interesting to see how 1,700 churches up there have gone into this type of activity. God bless you. Thank you for listening. My address is Collingswood, New Jersey. Send your gifts here. Send your letters. Send your petitions. And help us. Bye-bye today.